We're still looking at some of the things of God that started with shame and ashes the red heifer, and before we get back to Luke eventually. Let's go to verse 11.
2:11?
Yeah, chapter 2, verse 11. Titus. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope on the glorious appearing or revelation of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if we really believe that Jesus Christ is our only righteousness, that because of Him we stand right before God, then we'll begin to live that way. The idea that we are a different race of people now after the born again experience. You're no longer you. But that is meaningless unless you live like that. It's so totally, completely hard to understand that that's why we need the body. We need each other so tremendously, so often, so critically. That's what sanctification is about. It's not about me or you, it's about us. And that happens with vulnerability. That's the only way sanctification can take place. And that vulnerability includes confession and forgiveness. It includes this mystery that we found out many times, that what is the darkest to you to confess gives light to others. And it's not about, you know, sitting there trying to learn something. That's not what this is about.
I don't understand sanctification or purification from...
Sanctification is what you said?
Yeah, that you just said sanctification comes from the body, or part of it is from...
No, sanctification comes from repentance. Repentance comes from confession.
And what did I just hear about sanctification of the body? I thought I heard something.
The body, the sanctification doesn't have anything to do with you as an individual. It's the us is what's sanctified. Does that communicate? This isn't personal salvation. There's nowhere in the scriptures there's anything about that. This is about innumerable Seder groups meeting as in this ungodly world, seeing and finding out what we're doing here. His grace will cause us to lose sight of ourselves, but we have to know that grace. It's not a philosophy. Let's go to 2 Ephesians 2.
What is grace exactly? Is it a revelation? Is it a blessing? What exactly is grace?
Unmerited favor.
I don't know what that means. Unmerited.
It means that there is nothing in and about you that deserves grace.
There's what?
There's nothing about... there's nothing about this book that you or I are eligible for. It's only, this book is only to those that have been born again. born from above, born from the first estate.
Do you mean we're not entitled to it? Is that what you mean by not eligible for it?
Right.
We're not entitled to it.
Right. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with Gentiles. It has nothing to do with the world.
You don't read it and automatically receive grace.
No. Grace is revealed in vulnerability. And that's the hardest thing for a human being to truly be, is vulnerable. That's why there's a body. That's why there's a corporate entity. That's why it's about us, not me.
Why don't you say that Jesus Christ himself is grace?
Of course. It's all about Christ in you, the only hope of glory. It's not about you. It's not about the vessel. Where did I say go?
Titus.
No, before, after that.
Well, I heard you say unmerited favor. When I hear the word unmerited, I think of unearned.
Well, that's a good way to think about it.
You can't earn your grace.
If you could, you'd be better than the next guy. I can't remember. I didn't write it down.
You said go to Ephesians.
Oh, yeah, Ephesians 2. Thank you. That's a perfect example of what we need each other.
All
right, we're first going to read this incredible prayer. Now, remember, Ephesians... Joshua corresponds to Ephesians in the Old Testament. Ephesians corresponds to Joshua. It's written to people who have an understanding of the born again experience, who have an understanding of the mystery. Joshua is about the community of Israel when they left finally the wilderness. And they shed of all the grave clothes of religion, all the grave clothes of Egypt, and they've entered now into the promise. The first thing they had to defeat in the promise was Jericho. Jericho is one of many types of your mind. It's called the city of fragrance. It's a walled city that has no possibility of entering if you're not, if Jericho feels at all threatened, you don't have the tools, nor did anyone at that time have the tools to overcome Jericho. That's why the trumpet was blown and they marched around seven times. And the walls fell. We're not going to go into all that right now, but the whole idea of the very first thing in the Promised Land was having the walls of Jericho fall. Symbolically or metaphorically, that means that the barriers that you've created for self-protection, your mind, all of it is idolatry. All of it has to be, the walls have to fall down so that is confessed and seen. And as it's confessed and seen, and there's things, I mean, well, we've been through this. But we haven't been through it lately. So anyway, back to Ephesians. Starting in verse 15 of Ephesians 1, this is the first great, there's two great prayers in Ephesians, and we're going to look at the first one. We have to go up farther. I'm sorry. Let's we have to go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Remember, the word adoption is huiothesios. It's the placing of the fullness of the Son in us, of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That means that he isn't in you as a seed or a sperm cell. He is in you as the fullness of the God, of his own being. You understand that? And everything after this mystery of being born from above, everything after that is simply repentance to see that fullness. There's nothing else that you can learn. There's nothing else that you can do. But we have to provide the environment where the possibility of repentance comes, because there has to be confession in order to have repentance. It's not about you or me individually. It's about us. Amen? All right. To the praise, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And that's, we could spend years just talking about that one phrase, accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, and this is the prayer, the great prayer, and again, listen carefully. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Period? No. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, not yours, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now, Ephesians assumes that you're in the promise. You've left the wilderness. You've left Egypt. You've finally seen this mystery. You've crossed over the Jordan in a second baptism, if you will. You have destroyed the walls of your city of Jericho, so that there's openness and confession and life instead of, you know what the instead of is. All right. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come, and that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Now this, we said all that to say these next few verses. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespass and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, all of us were in that place. Some of you still visit it. Some of us still visit it. But we have been delivered from this course of life of the human race. And we are, if you will, going as one toward this place where we live by faith alone. Nothing else. You don't go as one. You don't go out and individually reach something. You go as a body. Now, this is what I hated. All right. Let's just read that again. And you hath he quickened, made alive, is what that means. You were dead before. Who were dead in trespass and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In other words, we all walked according to the prince of the power of the air. That's where our mind comes in. It's walking according to the prince of the power of the air. There's some cosmic tells in this poker game. If you esteem what the world esteems, you're walking according to the prince of the power of the air. If you fear what the world fears, you're walking according to the prince of the power of the air. If you fear what the world fears, you're walking according to the prince of the power of the air. Do you understand? That you can't be fixed. You can't improve. You can only repent further and deeper. But you have to know the need for repentance. And that's what the preaching of the cross is all about. Okay. Among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Until you know you are a child of wrath, then you'll try to keep yourself alive. You'll try to keep your own soul alive. No matter how much you think you see, without total repentance, you'll always be blinded. Now, if you walk, if this prayer is answered in you, then the mystery happens, that the revelation of his grace melts everything about you. But there has to be repentance. Above all things, bring forth fruit necessary or suitable for repentance. Repentance is far more than saying, "Oh, I'm sorry I did that." There's really only one thing that you repent of, and that's letting the evil one resurrect himself from the dead
in you.
Now, the more we see, the more, the deeper the repentance, then comes, this is when the renewing of our minds, the transformation of our souls. It can't happen without continual repentance. Because everything in you is hardwired. We begin to discover the totality of his finished work and our exclusive identity in him. There's no other identity. There's no other person. We begin to react totally differently to the world around us. Every aspect of it. Cross delivers us from the victim mentality. What's the greatest thing that we are victims of besides the evil one? Anybody have an idea?
Other people's faces.
I think, my opinion, it's time. Time is the great issue that causes us to be indebted.
Expectations.
Well, it's part of time. If you got out of time, you wouldn't have any expectations. You understand that? If you know it to redeem the time, for the days are evil, and there's no more. Even the next instant, there's only ever and always now. It's constantly a clash. It's constantly this antagonism of time is constantly trying to seduce you. Everybody understand that? But can you see, if you could walk out of time, you would walk out of all debt. There's no debt in eternity. You don't owe anybody anything in eternity except to love one another. Again, it's not all, there's no more shoulds or ought tos. It's what is if between the two environments. Either time and space, which is the world, or eternity, which is God. There's no in between. There's no neutral ground. There's no past. There's no future. There's only now. One more scripture. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, verse 1, chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Remember, faint means to quit in your mind. but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Nothing is hidden. Total and complete openness. But then if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If that silver nitrate, that silver self-redemption is still on that glass, you won't see through it, you'll see yourself. And once you see yourself, you're lost. Will you give Miss Stella a key? Can you see why this openness and confession and repentance is so important? It's all finished. It's all there. It's all ready, but it won't be shared with flesh and blood in any way. Anybody have any response? Everybody understand perfectly. Huh? What?
Let's not overstate too much.
Well, then you must have a response.
I don't know what it is, but that doesn't mean I understand perfectly.
You decrease, he increases. You die, he lives. Can't be two.